Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Smart, 8 assists, no turnovers. A little shake and bake and drills it. Marcus Smart with the jumper.
You know, I was very frustrated with that because I couldn't get out there and help my teammates. You know, I had to sit there and watch us struggle the way we did, and knowing that I probably could have helped was very painful. But at the same time, you know, it was good for us.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Ashewin for Costos. Barkley's here. That was Marcus Smart. After the Celtics' Game 2 win, the call thanks to ESPN there. Marcus Smart with 24 points in that game. And let's be honest with ourselves, Ken, one of the nastiest crossovers. I know he carried the ball a little bit, but who cares? Doesn't matter. They don't call travels. They don't call carries. They don't call double dribbles in the NBA. And you shouldn't, because then you get to put it all over Twitter and celebrate the fact that the bucket at the end actually counted. But what a turnaround for the Celtics from Game 1 to Game 2, when everybody's panicking, going, uh-oh, Celtics better figure this thing out. Never mind. Just like they did in Game 2 last round against the Bucks, they came out after losing Game 1, and they stepped on the throats of the Heat and made everybody leave by basically halftime. Which, by the way, if you're in South Beach, you're looking at this going, do I stick around for a 30-point blowout right now, or do I go party in Miami? I'm going to go out and party now. I don't blame any of them.
Yeah. I think that... You know, with this series, we had to see a game where the Celtics were not in the most disadvantageous situation possible to, like, start forming an opinion on what the series is going to be. Like, Game 1 was, it wasn't just missing players. It was also, had just played Game 7 against Milwaukee on Sunday. Then you travel to play Game 1, basically with no prep time. You know, you go, like, obviously on the road for it. And historically, those situations have been very valuable for the home team. And we saw that in both Game 1s. We had two teams coming off Game 7s with short rest, Boston and Dallas, and they both got throttled, to be honest. So, and the funny thing is, I feel like everyone now is like, oh, like, see, like, Celtics are better. Like, we just had to have, like, that game with everybody fully healthy. If you are someone who thinks that, and it's, that is a perfectly legitimate opinion to have, it's, I feel that way. But you, if you think that, as I just sort of tease the power hour later, you must also at least acknowledge that it is possible the difference between the Warriors and Mavs is much closer than you think, because it's like a very, very similar dynamic. There are not injured players returning, but there's the spot, to use a word that I sometimes drives me nuts in gambling, but I think it's appropriate here. The spot for Dallas in Game 1 was very bad, and there is a chance that the series is actually very competitive, just like the spot for Boston in Game 1 was as bad as you can get. And in Game 2, you saw a much better performance. My smoke alarm's going off, by the way.
Oh, that's great. This is good. So we'll see if your house burns down or not. By the way, there have been
it went back off again. It was like two beeps, and I was like, what is that? I was like, what is going on?
Why would it only
on?
Be two beeps?
I don't know. Well, it was like beep, 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 beep. And I go, oh, this is going to be anybody who has smoke alarm issues in their house is just like, shoot me whenever it happens, because it's always so obnoxious to take care of. Like, absolutely brutal. But I think we're safe. My wife was trying to prep dinner because she's going to take the kids somewhere. So I wonder if there was a dinner mishap as possible, maybe something like that.
That sounds like the oven is burning something, not the food, but it can just be something that's stuck in the oven, and then you're running over to it with a towel and you're waving the towel to try to get it to stop.
Oh yeah, that's the alarm that goes off when I think about betting Dallas tonight. That's the alarm that goes off in my house, which is probably a bad sign. I love the Mavs tonight. Lay all your money on the boop, boop, boop. Like a no, woo, woo, terrible bet alert. All right, there we go.
Have you ever heard that? It's like you've ever heard those creepy smoke alarms that'll also talk to you. Like there's a fire.
We have that.
Do you have that?
So we have our the way our smoke alarms are organized is there's like one in each of the bedrooms, but they connect to like a main system in like right outside the kitchen, and the main system talks to you. The main system like is very verbal, which is very
bad. Bet alert, Ken. Bad bet alert. Save your money. Save your money.
If you're going to bet them, wait for seven. Don't bet them now. It's like, okay, how do you know what the market is? Smoke detector? How do you have any idea?
My logic is undeniable.
I am a machine.
By the time it's all said and done, you're locked in your house and everything's been shut down because the machines are not going to let you spend that money. But I want to bet Dallas plus six. No, you're not going to do that. You're going to wait until it's plus.
Wait till it's plus seven. Wait till it's plus.
Yeah, I think this will work well for you.
Right. Wait, somehow it became Lost in Space all of a sudden. I don't know.
Yeah, we went from iRobot to Lost in Space. But hey, this all just kind of happened out of the blue. So there you go.
The point I was making, which I think I actually pretty much finished, was just like, you know, if you're willing to acknowledge that Boston had a terrible spot in game one, you have to also acknowledge Dallas had the same thing for a lot of different reasons, and that both may end up playing better in game two. Now, what does that mean? Is Dallas going to be as competitive in their series or as dominant? Probably not. But just that there's like some residue in game one probably of what happened, and you have to at least acknowledge that. If that's your case for Boston, is like this is the real Boston, then we haven't seen the real Dallas yet. You have to acknowledge that it has to be both if that's the case that you're going to make, basically.
Well, Luka only had 20 points in game one. So really the question, too, is what's Golden State going to do? Are they going to stick with the same sort of defensive strategy they had on Luka, where it was, you know, they're meeting him at half court. Sometimes it's full court. They're trapping him. Andrew Wiggins did a great job defensively on Luka Doncic, which made a huge difference there. And you frustrated him. I mean, this is the one issue that you have if you're the Mavericks and the Heat versus the Celtics and Warriors. There's one main go-to guy when it comes to a score on the Heat, and that's Jimmy Butler. And he played at an all-star level during the season. I've been a big fan of Jimmy Butler's for a long time, but I've never looked at him as somebody that's going to carry a team by himself, put the team on his back, carry him to the NBA finals solely by himself. Like when they went in the bubble, you also had Bam Adebayo playing out of his mind, Tyler Hero. You had a lot of factors that were working well for the Heat. But when you look at them now, it's basically been Jimmy Butler trying to carry things offensively for them, similar to the way it is in Dallas, where it goes through Luka first. Yes, you have other guys like Jalen Brunson and Spencer Dinwiddie step up at times. If I could speak, that would be better. But the reality of it is we know Luka is head and shoulders above everybody else on that roster. Just like right now, at least offensively, Jimmy Butler is head and shoulders and more consistent than anybody else on the Heat's roster. You look at Boston, has Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum that can both go out and light you up for at least 30. Then you go on the Warriors side of things, my God, it's everybody. I mean, it's Klay, it's Steph, it's Jordan Poole. Jonathan Kuminga can go out there and make plays. Andrew Wiggins, who is now like the fourth option on this team, but was an all-star this year, can go out there and he had 19 points and he's going to defend. And I know that Draymond isn't going to be a scoring threat anymore, but he goes out and at least facilitates. We know how important he is to this team on both ends of the floor. You have more with Boston and Golden State in terms of options and in terms of threats versus what Dallas and Miami have, where if you shut down, you know, the main faucet, you turn off the main feed of water to the house, nobody else is getting water, and it's a lot more difficult.
I don't want to talk about cutting off the main feed of water because my smoke alarm just went off. That means my house is probably about to do something else really stupid. I don't want to talk about house mishaps anymore. It's like, that's like if a pipe burst and then there's water. I don't want to do that.
This is how your house gets attention.
Fine, he's not listening. We'll turn off the water. You will not be hydrated until you don't bet on Dallas. Don't be stupid.
I am bored by the show. Do NFL. hey, house. You don't get to pick the topics. You don't get to pick the content.
Actually, more of a cricket fan. Can I bet on cricket and Hialai? That's what I want.
Oh boy. I think
on robots. Oh boy.
What do you want? You want to talk about game three here, real quick for Celtics?
I was going to talk more about robots, if you don't mind.
Okay. What about if robots played in game three for the Celtics? How much would they be favored?
The Celtics would be in a much better spot if it's a good robot. Although, have you seen that shooting robot? It's really creepy. The one that takes free throws.
It looks stupid. Like they had to design it a certain way so it could shoot a basketball, but.
Yeah,
it's pretty dumb.
It looks dumb.
Robert Williams would swat that thing so fast.
Yeah, horrible form. Horrible shooting form. It needs to get back in the gym a little bit more.
Right?
No,
hit the gym, robot. Get
back. Hit the gym, robot. That's really is the key, though, tonight. It's going to be all about what Luka Doncic does first. That's not even like nobody's going out on a limb when they say that, but the reality of it is that's where Dallas is. And we know that when they have other guys step up, when Jalen Brunson has solid games and Spencer Dinwiddie, like we saw last series with them, you know, that matters. But the reality of it is the difference between the Suns and Warriors, I'm sorry, like the Suns were a great team in the regular season, but everybody ignored the Warriors. And I'm screaming from the mountaintops, this team is not fully healthy. Just wait. 11 total minutes even this year between Draymond, Klay, and Steph on the court together. That's it. They've essentially now, for the first time in basically three seasons, gotten back out on the court together. And they've now just picked right up where they left off. So everybody's excited by the Phoenix Suns. And I love Chris Paul. I think they built a team that's great on both ends of the court as well. Great defensive team. We saw all that. They're not better than the Warriors. The Warriors are a better team, and they also have the experience having been there before. And against Golden State, like we saw when they closed out Memphis last series, late in games, if they just start bringing it up the court and they're popping 30-foot pull-up threes and nobody's stopping them and those are going down, that's it. It's over. You're not beating that team. Phoenix doesn't do that the way that Golden State does, and that's what's going to make it a lot more difficult for Dallas in this series, is that you're defending farther and farther back from the hoop, not just with Booker, but like everybody out there. And then you've also got Jordan Poole to deal with. And there's just so much more that the Warriors bring to the table. Dallas has to go out there and bring their A game defensively every single time. And then Luka's got to basically put up a 40-point triple-double.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
That concludes this episode of Nick patting himself on the back for betting the Warriors before the playoffs started, while Phoenix was the favorite to win the
Nobody listened conference. To me, Ken. Nobody yeah. listened.
I Shouting from the mountaintops, listen. Apparently. What mountains would those
the mountaintops.
Be? Exactly?
Yeah. I was yodeling, too, actually. There was some yodeling okay. involved with this as well.
What are the, what's so. Down there? Like the Appalachians? They go down there? Anything? What do you got down there?
Blue Ridge. And Blue Ridge. That's more in Virginia, but yeah, Blue Ridge Mountains.
Okay. And so you were atop the Blue Ridge like Mountains farther. Shouting... Imagine like you're all the way up there. There's like two other like experienced climbers. There's like some goats, and you're like, the Warriors are being mispriced, and everyone around you is just like, shut up, trying to.
But I mean it. The Warriors, right. have value.
Right. Never just like you're in nature, man. Nature doesn't care. Like what? Who's even listening at that point? If
Unless
a Nick shouts from
like
a mountaintop. Does anybody
Unless
even hear
of course,
it?
Like your robots, yeah. the goat stepped up and was like, don't no, bet the yeah. Warriors.
Right. Yes. That was pretty good impromptu goat. That was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
What are you doing with Boston the rest of the series? You just betting them? You just betting them every game?
Yeah, I think so.
They're 6.5 in game three. It opened six. Yeah. It got bet pretty quickly. Total has been in these like this. I had the under last night, which is a terrible bet, but whatever. I had the Warriors
in game
one.
If that moves to 7, 7.5, I'd maybe consider Miami, just because Miami's not going to get blown out the way they did every single game. By the way, they're also well coached and have a team that's got really good culture that's willing to come back and overcome adversity. Right? Remember the sideline screaming thing with Jimmy Butler? Well, they've rebounded from that. They're okay. So if that gets closer to 7, 7.5, if it gets to that point, I would consider Miami. But right now, still with the way Boston's playing, Boston does a better job, as we've seen, of, like I said, they don't lose back-to-back games. They don't fail to cover in back-to-back games of the playoffs. And then they use that momentum. It's what helped them beat the Bucks.
Like I said, they don't lose back-to-back games.
I'm totally inclined to agree with you. I have weird echo in my ear, guys in the crew, please. So,
oh, yeah, me too. Yeah, me too.
I'm sure it's somebody on our crew. Okay, that's better. So, this market's really interesting because, like, I think the Celtics are better. I think they should be a pretty big favorite to win the series. They are. They're -235 at BetRivers with the series only at 1-1. obviously because they've already won a road game in the series. The interesting thing with Miami too is like their road splits have not been for a team that I always make fun of their home court advantage, because like fans don't show up until like after the game has started. There's not a ton of noise. You have like the South Beach thing where it's like guys can go out the night before. So you do have a home court advantage that has nothing to do with the court. But I always kind of joke about it. But for a team that apparently doesn't have home court advantage, like, man, those home road splits have been pretty crazy in the playoffs. Lost game 3 to Atlanta. Game 4 didn't play great. Lost 3-4 to Philly, then had to win 6. Like, so it just, it hasn't been awesome for them on the road so far in the playoffs, which is weird because I would have pegged them as a team well-coached, not with a great home court advantage, that like would actually play really well on the road. It hasn't really happened so far. So I would be very reticent to bet on the Heat to like win the game or be very competitive in the series. I would be curious, and guys, if we could look this up even, exact series outcomes. God, this feels like 4-2 Boston. It feels like exactly like 4-2 Boston. And I don't even know if I would ever be talked out of it. Now, the price on that's probably not very good anymore because it's Celtics win 3-4, Heat win 5 in desperation, Celtics win 6. That's like probably what I would expect to happen. That's got to be the favorite by far from a series outcome. But man, it seems like I don't even know what the second most likely. I guess Celtics in 5. How about this? Celtics in 6 has to be the favorite. What is the most likely series outcome that is not Celtics in 6?
I'm honestly still inclined to go 7 versus 5.
My Celtics in 7 or Miami in 7?
Celtics in, oh no, not Miami. Celtics.
No, Miami. No Miami's. Is Miami in 7 more likely than Celtics in 5?
No. I just Boston is just head and shoulders better than Miami.
Well, they're gonna be a big favorite just, in every home game. Overcome. That's what this market tells you.
Boston in 6 is 2-1 at Bet Rivers. Boston in 5 is +320, and then Boston in 7 is +475.
Maybe I'll just like rolling parlay Celtics money line 3, Celtics money line 4, Heat money line 5, Celtics money line 6, which I definitely get better than 2-1 on. But I need that exact order, obviously, in order to win that bet. I don't need the exact order to win a +200 Boston in 6. I don't know, that's what that series feels like to me. I think the market's fine. I don't have a particular desire to bet into it. I do think the Celtics are way better. I don't know. I don't even know what props I would bet on this. Maybe Jaylen Brown unders, because every time they win, he seems to play horrible the next game. That seems to be something that happens.
At this point, take whatever the total is of Grant Williams' threes and hammer the over every single time, too, it feels like. I mean, he's going to get more time, too, because now they went small, and Grant Williams was the reason for that. So that's something that they definitely need to focus on. MLB Awards market and a preview of tonight's game as well. Up next, You Better You Bet.